It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions.
18+. Thank you for calling AJ Sports.
Larry the Sports.
Hi there. Is that AJ's in Clapham?
Yeah.
Hi there. Am I right in thinking you're the biggest provider of hockey equipment in the Clapham area?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Well, this is a slightly unfortunate phone call. I'm the CEO of Clapham, and one of our strict policies is to try and remove hockey from the area. This is a strictly only Ruggers county. So I'm just going to politely ask you if you can just remove all your hockey equipment from the shop.
Oh.
Hello? Hello?
Texting for 3 weeks since we matched on the hinge, yeah. So tonight let's go for drinks and then we'll finally find out. Sip more lashes, we chilling, Clapham's great pubs, no doubt. If you look like your pics, we'll probably fuck till our top.
You say let's go drinking, let's fucking lash it. But it's one thing to tell you, so don't be astounded. I've lost all my hair since this year was founded. But I'll do my best to regrow my hair, piece around it.
Boy, you know, na na na. Boy, you know, na na na. I ain't dating a man with no hair that ain't proper. Boy, you know, na na na. Boy, you know, na na na. I ain't gonna fuck a man with no hair, na 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 na.
I'm riding to you, sons, and I'm gonna say, please help me regrow my lips starting today. Cause she don't want fuck both guys that in her way. And we're just fucking ball losers at the end of the day.
So listen up, ladies and gentlemen, we're giving you 40%. Yes, that's 40% of all of Sun's hair care packages. Sun's is the most trusted hair provider. Without having to go to surgery, they will reclaim your lids for you. If you've lost your hair, if you're thinning, if you're losing a bit of hair, if you're completely bald, it's never too late. Within a month, you'll see the results. All you have to do is go to the Sun's website and put in the code RIGBIZ40 at checkout to get 40% off everything, reclaim your lid, and be one step closer to achieving that dream of yours. Go out there and get it today.
More lads, more lads, more lads, more lads. More lads, more lads. More lads, more lads, more lads, more lads. More lads, more lads. More lads.
Come and get less with me. The pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money, now that's the key.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 3 of the RIGBIZ podcast. My name is Freddie Claude, and I hope you all had a wonderful Valentine's and Six Nations weekend. As always, I am joined by the CCO himself.
It's a beautiful day, and Clapham's back on its way. It's a beautiful day.
Okay?
And Italy had to pay.
Oh my God, are you okay?
Yeah, it's just I'm doing a little remix of the U2 song, It's a Beautiful Day.
Yeah, that was very, very impressive.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it?
Did you have a beautiful day on Valentine's Day?
Valentine's Day was delicious.
Go
on. I headed to Clapham South, went to the M&S there, got a cheeky little meal for two.
Oh my God, go on, tell us. Yeah. For who?
No, just for me, because I'm just trying to actually put on a bit of muscle, so I needed the extra cows.
Right, okay.
And then just went home, had that, and actually talked to some pretty epic cheekers on LinkedIn and Hinge.
Did you get it to come round?
No, but it was the perfect Valentine's Day for me because I didn't drink, so I didn't take any unnecessary cows, but got the right amount of cows in, but also did a lot of flirtatious messaging with some cheekers. So a bit of flirtatious BD on Valentine's Day is the way.
But ultimately, another Valentine's Day by yourself.
Well, you can't be out at the moment. When I'm training for a boxing match, I'm also, you know, training to go back playing for the Clapham Falcons. It's very difficult to get out, but, you know, I
put in the hard yards, yeah. And those conversations I'm having on those various apps, you know, will pay dividends.
Well, I'm not so sure about that. But let's talk about your weekend. Did you enjoy the sort of festivities of rugby we had?
Oh, what a weekend.
It was incredible,
of rugby.
Wasn't it?
And when you have a weekend like that, Clapham really thrives.
It really does.
Yeah, it was a beautiful weekend. Everyone was lashing. Everyone was in good spirits.
Did you stay true to the fact that you weren't going to drink on Sunday? Did you even watch the England game?
I watched the England-Italy game with my whiteboard, took a lot of notes and looked at the statistics of the game. But it was always going to be quite easy. For me, Italy are a little bit like that sort of school that specialised looking after dyslexic people when you were at school. Like Shiplake.
Right, okay, yeah.
You know, you turn up, you play their first 15 and it's almost a guaranteed win. Doesn't even matter if you've been up all night eating tuck from your tuck box and you're ill-prepared.
Yeah.
You're going to win.
You're going to get the W.
Yeah, the worst version of me could win that game.
Well, Italy have now lost, I think, 43 on the bounce. It's getting quite ridiculous for the tournament, isn't it?
Yeah,
so I think it's probably about time they got someone else involved. But there is some good rugby coming, because obviously we're going into a two-week break from the Six Nations
until England Wales. Bloody good Prem games.
And I'm guessing Clapham Falcons are coming back, maybe?
Yes, yeah, we're playing this weekend. I messaged the league and said, yeah, I'm available to play this weekend because no Six Nations. So we've got a little run out this weekend. And feeling good, you know, I've just got to be careful, don't pick up any injuries ahead of my very big boxing match for Payne.
Well, Archie, there's a huge game I do want to tell you about.
Okay, England.
No, it's not the Six Nations, mate. It's a Gallagher Premiership tie between the mighty Saracens at home against the Bristol Bears. But they're not playing in their normal stadium. They're playing in Tottenham's brand new, incredible stadium in front of 60,000 raucous rugby fans, mate. It's going to be incredible.
Yeah, but it's at Tottenham and in a Kev Ball stadium.
Yeah, but mate, it's in London. You live in London. You love rugby.
Yeah, but it's not in Clapham, is it? It's not at the Stoop. It's not at Twickers.
Right, so you're not interested?
Well, no, not really, no.
But mate, they got in contact with me earlier today and they said, I know it's ridiculous, they think you're one of the biggest rugby influencers in the world. And
they called you?
Yeah, they did.
Why didn't they call me?
Well, I don't know. They couldn't get a hold of you. I don't know.
That makes sense. Me and the rugby guy are probably two of the biggest.
Well, yeah, it's between the two of you and they decided to go with you and they want you to put together, listen to this, the most epic VIP box for all your rugby friends. I said you don't really actually have any rugby friends because Benders never answers your calls and no one else knows you.
I can get Benders there and Kersey and Big Jim and Goody.
They're doing this
and Ugo.
They're doing this thing.
And Simon Thomas and Pano and Hask and I can get them all.
You really can?
Yeah. What are they paying us?
Well, I don't know if they're paying you.
Mate, I'll be there.
They're giving you free tickets. They want you to put together this box and they're doing this thing with StoneX where they're doing challenge accepted. It's the motto behind the game and they want you to bring Clapham to Tottenham.
Done.
You accept the challenge?
Yeah, can't bloody wait.
Okay. So, Archie, I think we're going to give two people who buy a ticket to the game the incredible honour of coming in your VIP box on the 26th of March in the Tottenham Stadium in front of all of those fans to be part of the entertainment with you.
Will they be able to handle the lash?
Well, I don't know.
Able to handle the banter?
Well, I don't know. But what?
Mate, have I told you I'm actually a big fan of rugby going to football stadiums? I think it's really innovative.
What, now you're into it?
No. I am always being really up for it because I want to expand the game of rugby. That makes sense. Yeah.
Well, you're saying, can they handle the lash? Tottenham Stadium's got the biggest bar in Europe at a stadium. So it's going to get loose.
Oh, I can just see it now. Me, Benders, Ugo, Haas, Pano, Tins, just lashing up. Oh, probably not Pano, actually, because we'll be fighting. But that sounds unbelievable.
Mate, it's going to be epic. So all you have to do, guys, if you're interested, is go to the Saracens website, buy a couple of tickets to the game, and we will pick a couple of you to come into the box on the 26th of March, surrounded by Archie and his friends, to get lashed like you've never got lashed before.
That is some seriously good C.H.A.T. chat. Clodis, normally at this point of the pod we'd have the Clapham news,
an incredible section
absolutely
so
loves
we doing
no we're doing a new section this week called the Investors Corner. I've been working on a little jingle. Listen to this.
You've been working on a jingle?
Yeah, listen to this.
Welcome to the Investors Corner with me, Archie Cousin.
Mate,
that was...
I've heard how you've done your songs and then that's
mate,
my new...
that was awful.
No, it's good.
Did you make that yourself?
Yeah. I've been working on that for about 2.5 weeks.
Mate, that was shocking.
Really?
Yeah, that was
well,
so
can bad. You put something together quickly?
Yeah, I'll do my best.
Welcome to Archie's Investment Corner. One place you get your money back if you're shatter. Invest your funds in the built-on market. But this time we're going crypto because we actually want the profit.
Welcome to the Investor's Corner with AC Limited.
limited.
So we call it the Investor's Corner. Well, I mean, what is this about, Archie?
So
now we've got the theme tune sorted.
Obviously, I have a number of WhatsApp groups I'm a member of. You know, yeah. City Slickers, a lot of guys on high basic salaries. I have the Clapham Falcons, which is some bloody good banter. And honestly, if you got on that group, it's illegal. Okay. There's some serious material. But then also, I'm part of a WhatsApp group called the Crypto Nuts.
The Crypto Nuts?
Yeah, there's a lot of my guys who have invested heavily in crypto, something that I'm massively into. And they've got an incredible portfolio. And I've been given a heads up on a cheeky little coin. I thought many people listen to this pod week in, week out.
Yeah.
You know, we sell. But this opportunity is the time for me to give back.
So you're essentially giving them free shit.
Cloders, this is a little tip from the Crypto Nuts. And these guys have made a lot of coin. And they've given me a heads up about a new coin.
I'm all ears. Yeah, I'm actually excited.
Mate, I've pumped a lot of money from my built-on market into this coin.
Okay.
It's called the Lobster Coin. Right. And it's the first meme coin on the Cardano network.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people who listen to this will know what I'm talking
They'll
about.
Be familiar with
this is crypto banter.
Yeah, yeah.
Crampter. There are currently 20,000 holders of the Lobster Coin, and 400 transactions have been made on this coin.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's fascinating
stuff. How many of those have
you
made?
For the crypto nuts out there, we'll absolutely be going wild for this. And I'm just giving you a little tip for the people out there. All you have to do is either go on whenlobster.io. We'll put this all in the bio, or the Muesli swap.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just buy this coin, and trust me, this is on the up.
And because you were laughed at slightly about your biltong investment, but this is like legit, right?
Mate, from day one, I've been banging on about crypto, and this is where you're going to make coin. I've invested a lot. So look, just a little tip this week. I'm giving back. I'm giving back to the people. Mate, that was a really good section. Really enjoyed that.
That was knackering, yeah. It was incredible.
Woo! When you're speaking crypto, it's almost like you are speaking another language, like Chinese.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm with the crypto nuts and we're in the pub, like no one knows what we're talking about.
No, it's quite incredible. Well, mate, I'm actually
exhausted from that.
I'm going to get involved in that, though.
Yeah,
it sounds pretty good.
Yeah,
it sounds like
a
very, very good investment, so I can't wait to get involved in that. I'll do that later today. But
mate, you're welcome. Before doing it, you're welcome.
We've got a guest who is waiting to talk to us.
Oh, my God.
And he is, well, he's known as the sort of naughty boy of cricket. He came in 10 years ago and he changed the game. Tattooed to the nines, sexy, drugs, rock and roll, the whole thing. He was out clubbing the night before his debut in the World Cup. I mean, he's a crazy, crazy guy.
Mate, I have admired this guy from a distance for many years, and it's a real treat to speak to him. I think what I'll do is I'll take the new ball.
Yeah.
And I'll bowl this over, and let's see if he's got any banter to hit back at me. Onside. Huzzah! JD, can you hear us? Over.
Hello, gents. Yeah, got you.
Oh mate, what an outfit. Fuck, I wish I'd got my vest on now.
Mate, he's got the rig out.
Mate.
Sorry, lads. Just got back from the gym.
Oh, nice. No, mate, that's the way we like to conduct these podcasts. We like people coming in, either being in the gym or just got back. Are you still got the pump on? Are you still feeling the pump?
I don't know. You guys can be the judge of that.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to work hard. Leaving a girl's sport, trying to play a man's sport now in rugby. So I'm just trying to get a bit of size on.
It's impressive to see. Welcome to my arena. You know, I'm one of the best to do it in the semi-pro leagues. So it's great to speak to you. If you have any questions, just shoot. Don't worry about it.
I might need some advice. I'm currently applying my trade at 10.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All I'd say is rugby's very simple. It's 87% chat, and then about 21% is just physical ability.
Those percentages don't add up.
They do when you come to rugby. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
That's all part of the banter.
Right.
But yeah, 10 is just about having the right platform to create the opportunities. Very much like the business world, you know? Once you see the opportunity, you've got to take it. So hopefully that helps.
Well, Jade,
thank you.
Are you still living in London, or have you moved out to the rural Surrey hills?
Yes, I'm in rural Surrey, just before Guildford.
Oh,
okay, nice. I mean, look, I very much hope to move out that way, probably in about 5 years, 6 years time, when I'm on my second or third marriage. I'd like to get a big stonking pad there and hang out with JT and Wayne Bridge.
Jade, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on the podcast, sir. But how come it took you so long to realise the genius of Archie Kurz and the Rugbiz podcast, seeing as you've shared a dressing room the last couple of years with the likes of Ollie Pope, the likes of Jamie Smith, the likes of Reece Topley, the likes of Stoneman, who are all big, big fans?
It's actually my bad. I should really have jumped on this before. I mean, spent lots and lots of time in your manor, Clapham.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've called
what
that pretty much our second home, really.
Yeah.
We stomped up and down that high street many a time. The Northcote Road is like a brother to us. So
yeah, yeah.
No, it's a shame. It's a shame it's taken this long.
Well, Archie, being the CEO of Clapham, have you never seen Jade down the North?
I've seen Jade. I've seen him smash it up. But, you know, sometimes, you know, I know Jade's a big dog. I do question why he's friends with Popey, because Popey has got limited chat. I have sort of DM'd him and said, listen, please stop posting about your dog. It's very worrying.
He's overshot that one, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He got it in the first instance to help with the chat, or to at least sort of get him to the point of being able to start the conversation.
Yeah.
He's now taking the piss with it, really.
Yeah,
he's now gone full dog on me.
It's just not going. I want to see him in the gym. I want to see him having a bit. I want to see what food he's eating. Those are the kind of stories I like to look at. Not your fucking dog, mate. Get it out of the way, mate.
It's boring now.
Yeah, I'm just starting to think, is he having a relationship with this dog? Because he gets very, very soppy when he leaves him. I'm just knowing the time it comes when he goes to West Indies, we're going to have a lot of sad music and a lot of shots of his dog.
As you lads would know, a couple of test caps, all of a sudden, you don't need as much chat or as much banter.
Yeah,
you got 500 grand in the bank.
Yeah, it makes a difference. So I think he's managed to sort of cover over a few cracks, if you know what I mean, with a few test caps.
No, but I was saying, I have seen Jade out and about, but look, I appreciate his work. You know, as Clapham CEO, I've got a wide remit. You know, I know a lot of things that go on there. I know Jade is a phenomenal man with the ladies, got superb chat. And sometimes, you know, I've seen him from a distance and I say, look, you know, he's in his own arena, I'm in my arena. There's no point yet. You know, our paths won't cross yet. You know, they're two big dogs. You know, this is the time.
You're fighting for the same space.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
Now after years, you can put down your weapons. And
yeah, and now he's moved into the semi-pro rugby, you know.
World. And playing 10, mate. He's after you.
No. I'll say now, you come to Clapham playing semi-pro rugby, we'll have a problem.
Your territory. I'll stay down in Surrey. Cobham's my area.
Jade, you know, playing up in Cobham, when you make that move from cricket, what is it like coming in with all those lads? The banter's completely different to cricket, I can imagine. And also, did you have to do an initiation to sort of bear the trust of the teammates?
To be honest, it was very random. I'd said to myself while I was playing cricket, I said, if my body was able, I was going to give it a crack. I always loved rugby. Rugby was my first love when I was younger, but then soon realised I probably wasn't going to be big enough or strong enough or fast enough to make it. So I went with cricket. But then, yeah, turning up, finishing up with the cricket, sent an email down to Cobham. They said, listen, come down, come to training, see what you think. Turned up, honestly, nicest bunch of blokes I've ever met. So welcoming, everything you'd imagine from a rugby club. Got me involved straight away. I thought I was actually going to go down there and just play a bit of vets rugby. But they popped me in the second team. I don't know what they saw, but so been in the second team ever since. And yeah, just been loving it. But I haven't had a proper initiation yet. I guess first game, they got me up on a chair and had to neck a pint of cider.
Yeah, that's
just
great.
Because of being a cricketer, essentially. Yeah. But I know that they tend to drink from long straws or all sorts of stuff like that, but I haven't had to partake in that.
It's
just
all
yet.
Coming for you, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. You've probably got a couple of bum funnels coming your way, which are bloody good.
I've heard that. Apparently, yeah. I've got to make a few more moves on the rugby park first before I can even get to that sort of level.
Well, I mean, look, if you are down my neck of the woods, let me know. You're more than welcome to come around to mine, and I can sort of give you a bum funnel just to see if you enjoyed or not.
Well, just the two of you.
Yeah, yeah. Why not? I regularly take a couple of the boys back from the team, and you know, just give them a practice.
Give
run
them soft initiation.
So they don't embarrass themselves when it comes to it.
Makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Well, Jade, in many ways, you know, you are the sort of Francois Hugot of cricket. You know, tattooed to the nines, good looking, bit of rock and roll, sex, drugs, and the rest. But you ended your 20-year stay with Surrey over the summer. I suppose the main question is, how did you last so long sharing a room with Gareth Batty?
Good question.
Batty? Captain and the manager now.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, you wouldn't have crossed paths. He's Ballum. So that's his stomping ground.
Well, weirdly, I don't know how much you know, but we've actually recently acquired Ballum, but we just renamed it Bantam. So yeah, I probably will. I mean, let you know, tell him to get in contact. Does he earn a lot of money?
I don't know.
Yes.
Probably. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Tell him to get in contact. Yes. I've got a few very good investments that I'm sort of, you know, he could get involved in.
Yeah, he's a good man, Gazbat. He's he's good fun. Likes a beer. But yeah, being a Surrey for 20 years was amazing. Got to play with the best players in the world, best overseas players, best coaches, at the best ground, in my opinion. You know, sell out that ground week in, week out, playing T20 there, making a career, going on to play international cricket. It was everything you could have asked for and more. So I'm sat here at nearly 36 and thinking I did everything I wanted to and more. So superb career from my point of view.
Jade, could you have gone on, or do you just, the time was coming, you just thought, look, I've got all the chat I need out of this sport, I'm moving on?
I pretty much felt like I'd completed it, in as many words. I was struggling with my body a little bit. I had some groin issues for probably 2.5 years. So I had a few surgeries to try and get rid of that issue, and kind of managed to come back, played a bit in the 100 last year and a little bit for Surrey, but I wasn't quite the same as I was before. And it was one of those things where if I can't do something at 100% or the way I used to be able to do it, I'm not just going to keep taking a paycheck and try and sort of elongate this career for no particular reason. I'd kind of achieved everything I wanted to. I'd won everything I needed to. There wasn't anything more than the game I wanted to achieve. So for me, it would have been a kind of selfish decision to continue and just sort of waste people's time, really.
That's pretty interesting to say that, because obviously I work in the city. That's my profession. And the guy who heads up Asia had been in the business for 20 years, Rupert Stanley Smith. Really good guy, but very much like you, he'd had some problems, mainly with his cholesterol. He went out a lot with clients, and over the last 5 years put on a significant amount of weight, and he was just coming in to pick up a paycheck. He had lost his love for the game. And luckily, you know, I respect you for leaving. Rupert, on the other hand, didn't leave and had to get asked to leave after they found out he'd been doing horrible, horrible things to some of the, a couple of girls in the HR and, you know, some of the stuff he'd been doing with expenses. So I know he listens to this. And Rupert?
How's he doing now?
Well, he's overweight and I know he listens. Rupert, you owe me a grand. So at some point, you either give it to me, or you're going to have, I will splat your name across LinkedIn like nobody's business. Sorry about that. Sorry.
Well, Jade.
Got to get things off my chest sometimes.
No, but the nice thing is he's still with his wife, but that's, I think, good. She's with him for the money.
Yeah. Well, Jade.
She's unbelievably good looking. She's 15 years younger than him.
Wow.
Yeah, they've got three kids. But, I mean, he, just in a state, honestly. He looks like, you put a pin on him, and foie gras would go everywhere. Be an absolute nightmare.
You're one of the first sort of new generation of cricketers, if not the first, who had the look. You had the tattoos, you had the white teeth, you had the hair, the lid, you had everything. You were living in London, driving a good car, making good money. How dangerous were you on a night out in Infernos in those days? I know you're settled down now, but come on.
I tell you what, Infernos took a hammering. Absolute hammering. They used to look after us pretty well, because as you fellas would know, the queues can get pretty big there. So sometimes you just have to flex. And obviously that flex, when you're walking up to the front of that queue, dropping a name, walking straight in, the Red Sea would part. You know what I mean? You're walking in there, you're a big dog anyway. Yeah. Chucking a few shots down your neck, free of charge, obviously. Next thing you know, the dance floor's yours. It's a sensational place. If you haven't been to Infernos, do you even know Clapham? Like, I don't want to have this conversation with you.
I don't think so.
Do you know what I mean?
And if you live in Clapham, you haven't been to Infernos, here's a little message to you if you listen to the pod. Fuck off back to Putney, okay? Go and enjoy Fez, you twat.
Such a good point. Fucking Fez Club.
Jed, I know you're settled down now, but give us an insight into the nights you look back on incredibly fondly, I can imagine, when, you know, you're probably in bed with a couple of ladies having some sort of menage a trois, post-inferno, 3 a.m, and you lie to yourself, you look at the bank account, you go, you know what? Cricket ain't that bad. Thank God I didn't choose rugby.
Do you know what? There's plenty of times. International cricket obviously has its perks. You know, decent bit of money, a few champagne bottles, a few sparklers. Next thing you know, it's all on, isn't it? You know, there's just no stopping you. There's no stopping you. No. There's no establishment you're not allowed to take your shirt off in. It's
true.
It's ridiculous,
true.
Really.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've obviously worked hard on our rigs over the years, and it's one of the things we like to get out and show.
Yeah, so, exactly.
You know,
you guys are dangerous when we're not out together. But
I tell you what, it's extraordinary that we have never had a night out, because, you know, Bacho, you know, now I'm getting into that upper echelons of Instagram. You know, I feel like an international player, you know, whether that's cricket, rugby, you know, wrestling, boxing, whatever it is, you know, I now understand what Bacho's saying. You know, I just walk around, I take my top off, and I feel fucking great. And no one's going to say boo to a goose, because if they
do, the thing as well, the blue tick helps. You know, the blue tick when it's official.
That's a bit controversial.
It just makes you feel superior.
I'm not verified yet, but I am verified on LinkedIn, but just not Instagram.
But that's the most important, isn't it?
Yeah, that is the most important.
That's money. That
is where you find some unreal ladies. Oh, my God.
Is that a slightly untapped market?
Oh, my God. It is moist in there. It is moist in those LinkedIn messages. Fuck me. Some of the cheekers I have got with from oil and gas is that's a story to tell you outside the podcast. My God, it's dripping.
But
it's
to be
dripping.
Fair, to
it's
be
disgusting.
Fair,
it's disgusting.
To be fair to you, Archie, you were the first person to use LinkedIn as a dating app.
Yeah, you were. And it is, you know, it's something I talk about in my AAA, BBB, CCC course. That's actually going to be in Clapham Grand in July, where, you know, I take a lot of guys from, you know, who are on, you know, mid-range 50K basic, pretty disgusting, you know. Those kind of guys are probably on the outskirts of Clapham. And I bring them in for a 24-hour, you know, I say, turn your phones off, don't drink any water, don't eat any food, don't look at your phone and don't sleep for 24 hours. I'm just going to deliver you the most incredible chat ever. And I just don't stop talking for 24 hours. And from there, they go on to earn a lot of money, get with a lot of girls. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I'm an expert in.
Jade, are you friends with our guest last week, Francois Hugo?
I'm not. Do you know what? After listening to him on the podcast, I followed him. He hasn't followed me back yet, but he's pretty big time, isn't he?
I'll get that sorted.
What a chassis he's got, by the way. Wow.
God, disgusting.
He's dangerous in night.
World rigor mortis. Jesus Christ. Mm. And he was so humble. Naughty. That's what I couldn't get over. Yeah. I thought we were going to take on a beast, but he was top bloke. I've had a few DMs with him since. He's coming to the boxing, which, Bacho, you're more than welcome to come to.
Funnily enough, I've taken up a bit of boxing myself now. I quite fancy a little boxing match at some stage.
Oh, yeah, okay. We could get you on the undercard. Is there anyone you want to take out? Maybe Hask?
Well, just anyone from Putney, really.
Oh, yes. We'll find you someone.
You know what I mean?
There's a lot of cannon fodder there.
Commercial break.
On April the 21st, Paino, I am finally going to shut you up once and for all. Vengeance will be mine.
We can ease up on the Paino.
Ladies and gentlemen, go and buy the remaining tickets for the War in Wandsworth Hall on the Fixer website.
Jade, when you came into the England squad for the first time, you know, circa 2011, did you get any shit from the lads at all, like, for being this sort of, you know, basically sex icon and having a South African accent?
I did, and it was quite funny because actually, just before I made it into the England side, I was playing a game against Nottinghamshire, and Graham Swan was playing for Nottinghamshire, and he was stood at second slip. I'm walking out of the bat. I'm number 11. So I'm of no threat to anybody. I'm strolling out. And as I walk out, Swanee says, "Oh, here comes the biggest cunt in county cricket." Sort of turn around and think, what is going on here? I don't even know you, pal. Anyway, take my guard, manage to block out the ball. He comes on to bowl the next over the other end. I was like, what the fuck is your problem? They said, shut up, youngster. And so he bowls. Anyway, led the other end, gets a single. I go down the other end. I'm thinking, I want to try and smash him out of the park here. by hook or by crook, I hit him for two sixes in this over. He is fuming, absolutely fuming. So we've continued to have words. We're effing and blinding, calling each other everything. The guy at the other end gets out. So as we're walking off, me and him are just drilling each other. Anyway, game finishes. 2 weeks later, I got picked in England side. Swanee was in the England side. I was thinking, oh, no. Because he was quite a big character at that point. You know, had a lot of the bloke's ears and stuff. I thought, fuck, what's going to happen? Yeah, this geezer's going to be, he's going to coke me before I even get in there. It's going to be no hope. But then, honestly, walked in. He was the first lad to come up to me, come shake my hand. He's like, pleasure to have you here. Just wanted to see what you're made of. And that was pretty much it. So getting in with him, I knew Brody from before. We'd been on a couple of holidays together. We'd been in Vegas together before, started playing with him. So, and Luke Wright. So all the lads were top draw, but sort of getting in with Swanee and with Jimmy and stuff like that to begin with was probably my best move.
We had Stokesy and we had Brody on the podcast last season. Obviously the agent was on the call and they played a pretty straight bat. But I mean, they seem like good blokes, but I mean, are they, do you think they have become like the echelon where you really can't say anything without feeling the consequences?
That's the problem with this day and age. And this is why it's the kind of humor, comedy, whatever you want to call it. it's completely gone out the window. You can't just honestly tell a story anymore because it was funny, because somebody's going to get offended by it. Those blokes are top lads and we've had some great times together. The problem is when people say, oh, you know, what are these guys like? You have to be so careful with saying anything because somebody misconstrues a story or something you said or did. And somebody's offended. It's madness out there.
Yeah, it's tough. The world is changing. Yeah, gone are the days where you can make really funny jokes about the receptionist at work. Yeah, I know, tell you from firsthand, you know, that's it. You're out the, you know.
There's a gun.
Yeah, I'm on my third warning.
Well,
next time I'm out.
Talking about, you
they're
know,
really funny jokes. They're,
I can imagine they are. Yeah. But we can't say them again because we're legally here. Jade.
But it is, you know, you really can. It's really funny, especially when they've slept with someone in the office. You sort of bring it out, but apparently you're belittling them. But then you're thinking, why do you do it? Why did you do it? One of them slept with four of the guys in the office. You know, not my fault. I wasn't there.
But Jade,
I was clapping her into the office. I got everyone to clap her into the office. And then next day I know I'm drawing in front of HR. I'm saying, what? I'm just saying, you've got your hat trick in the office. You know, in cricket, you raise your bat. In the office, you give everyone a clap. But apparently you can't. And then the fourth time she did it, couldn't say anything. And it was, you know, it's pretty high up guy and he was married. So, I mean, I thought that would have definitely...
That's a great story.
Yeah. Anyway, can't.
Well, talking about top lads, just going back before the receptionist, you were first included in England squad during the 2011 World Cup, as you just alluded to there. But just give us a flavour, who were the best lads on that tour for a night out? And I'm guessing because you're in Asia, you couldn't go out. So if you can't go out, do the girls come in?
So, I'm remembering that game because we ended up losing. I didn't play, so I got called up. I was in the West Indies with the A-team, flew home for one night, went out in Shoreditch with my friends celebrating because I'd just been picked in the World Cup squad, flew out the next morning to Sri Lanka. I had one training session and we had the game, which they didn't pick me in. We lost that game and we basically stayed in this massive hotel in Sri Lanka. I think it's called the Cinnamon Grand or something like that. But there's a nightclub inside the hotel. So we just got absolutely smoked and then tore this nightclub a new one. I mean, bearing in mind, I hadn't even played a game yet. I was topless on a table. We were spraying champagne with Swanee. Swanee was topless. Matty Pryor. It was all going off. It was awesome. But yeah, we didn't leave the hotel. And then we flew back home the next morning. It was absolute whirlwind. God.
That is bizarre. Where was I? Yeah. I should have got into cricket. I really should have. Yeah. God, I would have been in that summer team.
It was good times.
Yeah.
It was good times.
Imagine me and you opening the bowling. Just like the fucking... They're talking about trying to open up cricket to the masses. That's all they needed. Fucking Hugo Boss would have been there like, right, let's sponsor these two guys.
Yeah.
Absolutely really did. I'd be coming in, like just distributing not only an unbelievable Yorker, but some seriously good banter to the batsman, which would fucking freak him out.
Yeah.
I'd be coming in and be like, shit, mate, like that. And then he's just spoken and bowled at the same time. Yeah.
We've never seen that. 300 years of cricket and no one's ever done that.
You've got my basic salary back and like you're out in middle stump and the times are right. This is a new kind of cricketer. That's incredible. Brilliant.
Well, Jade, you ended up playing for England 59 times and at several World Cups and both the short formats, ODIs, T20s. What go down is your sort of best and your worst memory from those 59 caps?
Oh, good question. Best memory would have been making my ODI debut at the Oval, which was unbelievable. To make a debut at your home ground, have my family and stuff there, that was unbelievable. Going to World Cups is special, but that making your debut was the big one. And then worst feeling, probably we got dumped out of the World Cup. So Netherlands beat us, 2014 World Cup. We got dumped out of that. That was horrendous. I remember coming back. Like that was just when that MH flight had gone missing. And back then, basically, there was no repercussion what people used to be able to say on Twitter. And there was some horrendous things sent through. I remember not wanting to leave my house for a couple of weeks once I got home.
Really?
Can you give us a couple of examples of what was said to you?
Well, they basically just wished that I was on that flight. That shit, apparently.
Well, Jade, we're just talking about obviously abuse and maybe not getting the respect you deserve. But you, in many ways, were the first bowler to sort of reinvent cricket in the T20 age. You were the first person to bring in the slow balls, to bring up the change ups, the variations. Do you think that you get the credit you deserve as a pioneer of the game?
It's funny you say that. Actually, I did a podcast the other day with a guy who's a cricket statistician, and he was throwing all these numbers at me. And you don't actually realize what it is you've done in the game until obviously now you come to this point and you finish. And I always knew, I guess personally, what I brought to the game and the situations I bowled in and the just kind of my value in a team. And I always felt that. Sorry, they always respected me and they knew the job I did. I think internationally, I maybe didn't get the recognition I deserved. Yes, my numbers weren't great, but the jobs I was doing for the team, I was never going to have amazing numbers because I was doing the hardest jobs. So for me, once you can step back, I'm completely okay with it. It's for everybody else to decide or how they define that. For me, it's a case of I knew what I brought to the game in the sense of the slower balls and change things. And now everybody's got it, but we just see that as normal, whereas that wasn't the case.
Just before you retired, I know it's not the case now, they're saying like you had some of the worst average rates or whatever it may, economy rates in T20 cricket. But the truth is, you were one of the greatest cricketers in that format for many years. So do you feel that you are unlucky, or like how do you explain that to someone who doesn't understand the game?
So how to explain that is that it's not about being unlucky. That's certainly how I wouldn't describe it. How to describe it is, if you look at, all I say to people now is, who would you, as cricket fans, who are the three best death bowlers in the world in your opinion? So I'll ask people to tell me that.
Yeah.
And then I'd say, okay, go and have a look at what their average is or what the economy rate is in the last four overs of a T20 game, and then come back to me and talk to me about my stats.
Because
once you have the full picture and understand, someone like a Jasprit Bumrah, who everybody says is the best death bowler in the world now, still goes at 8.8 and over at the end.
Yeah.
Exactly what my figures are. The other way to just get rid of these morons is to go, well, how many bedrooms do you have in your house? And
what car do you drive?
Yeah, because I might be shit, but I've got a fucking big house and a nice car, so fuck off.
Exactly. And the thing is, I can't do that yet because I'm renting. But when I do
You've been renting for 15 years.
Yeah,
it's
but I'm seeing what's out there in Clapham. You have to. I've been living and breathing all the different areas, the roads. I like to move around. I'm like the James Smith of Clapham. You know, I don't believe in renting yet. I will eventually purchase it, and then, whoa, I can't wait for the Labour supporters to come at me. Well, they're going to get it. Yeah.
Well, Jade, obviously you've had an incredible career, you know, over 50 caps for your country and loads of sorry as well. But who was the best and worst teammate during that time? Like, who was the best guy to play alongside and who was the worst?
Best. That's a good question. Gaz Batts has got to be up there.
Yeah.
It's one of the best. I tell you who was difficult to play with. He was a phenomenal player. Mark Ramprakash was tough work.
Really?
Yeah.
How come? Just bad
he banter? He used to lose his shit when he used to get out, or used to be quite a moody man, used to smash things up. He could be tough work.
Obviously, Archie always speaks about sort of inter-team spats when he's training the Falcons. Someone gets their pay reduced, they have to leave the club because he's got a very strict policy there. What's the worst sort of inter-team fallout or spat you've witnessed for club or country?
I was probably involved in it, to be honest.
Go on.
It was quite funny. It was the first championship game of the year. Chris Adams had just taken charge at Surrey, so it's his first game. Now, we used to play football in the mornings for warm-up, and we were playing, and Chris Schofield was on the other team, and we've gone up for a header, and he's dropped an elbow straight on my bombs. I said to him, mate, do that again, I'm going to chin you. So he told me to fuck off or something. So I said, mate, I promise you, do that again, I'm going to knock you the fuck out. So as I've said that, Mark Ramprakash has said, you can't talk to your teammate like that. So then I told him to fuck off. So now we're trying to square up to one another. It's all kicking off. I had to be separated. As this has happened, our statistician was stood on the sidelines. He just walked off the field, walked straight out the front gate, never to be seen again, resigned then and there. Couldn't handle the animosity, just walked straight out the Hobbs gate, never to be seen again. And that was first game of the year.
Statistician sounds like someone from the younger generation, just couldn't handle the heat.
Oh, absolute wet blanket.
Yeah, wet flannel.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Oh, what a knob.
Well, Jade, having been in the sort of the barren land of international cricket for 6 to 7 years, suddenly last summer, whilst playing the new tournament, the 100, you reappear in the sort of azzurri blue of Italy, playing in the European World Cup cricket qualifier tournament. How did you go from England to playing for Italy? How did that come about? And what was the experience like? I mean, surely you got some shit from the lads for doing that.
I've always had an Italian passport. My mum's Italian, so I've always had that, and then had a British passport as well. So when I'd finished playing international cricket for England, Italy had got in touch and said, listen, would you be interested? And I said, no, at that point, I wasn't. I was still hoping to get back in the England side. And then more recently, Gareth Bergh, a guy who I know quite well, he took over as player coach. And he said, would you want to get involved? He said, speak to the president and understand the vision, where we're trying to take the team. It'd be great to have you on board to help out with the guys and just have your experience around. So had a conversation and yeah, just got kind of blown away by the kind of journey that they're on and what they're trying to achieve. And I thought, you know, it's a perfect time in my career at that point to be able to give something back and to help out. And yeah, to pull on the Azzurri blue, because I mean, I always supported the football team just because the shirt was so amazing. I thought, well, if I can get that blue on me, it's going to make my eyes sparkle. Let's have a go on that.
Jade, obviously you left Surrey. You played London Spirit last year, but is there any white ball contract you can give us an exclusive on E2 in the clubs, or is that cricket done and dusted?
To be honest, I think that's me done and dusted with cricket. They could, I'm sure if I really wanted to and push for it, that there would probably be something out there, but I just can't see myself doing it.
Jade, obviously we've also had Monty Panesar on this podcast. What an extraordinary young man he really is. Again, sends me some very strange DMs in my. He's very keen for a night at the Ned with me. Now I see him obviously on Instagram, and he's doing like these legend tours, and he's got a horrible golf swing. Monty, if you're listening, mate, just don't pick up that golf club anymore. It's offensive. It burns my eyes. But could you go and do the legends thing that he's doing? Because that looks quite sort of free cash.
Yeah, that they actually contacted me. I think that's all that's going on in India now. But it was going to be 5 weeks away from home in India for that tournament. And I didn't fancy that, to be honest. I've spent so much time in the subcontinent touring, and it was an experience the first couple of times, but when you've done it 5, 6, 7 times, I've seen enough now. Yeah. So the thought of doing 5 weeks, no thanks.
But you would have Monty to go to the gym with, and he's looking in bloody good shape at the moment.
I've actually been following his Twitter program recently, just with the dining room chairs, doing a few dips.
Yeah. Well, when he came on the podcast, he showed us what to do with a can of baked beans, which was phenomenal. And actually, Jordan, something I'm using. I do 50 on each arm every morning, and yeah, I'm seeing the results.
What a pump, yeah.
Well, Jade, it's been a career of highs and lows, but mostly highs. It's been absolutely incredible. But we need to speak about, you know, a serious question, as we always try to delve into, just to really tell the proper story here. And I know that one of the greatest cricketers of the generation alongside yourself was a great friend of yours, and Tom Maynard, alongside of Rory Hampson-Brown, who you announced earlier, who was the captain. And obviously, he tragically passed away only at the age of 23. I know you were with him earlier that evening. When you look back on that night, on that evening, what are your sort of recollections of the unfoldings of that tragic night?
Yeah, I guess whenever you lose someone, it's the hardest thing ever, like the most tragic situation ever. And yeah, I've replayed that thousands and thousands and thousands of times. And unfortunately, the outcome is still the same. It was just a horrendous thing, a horrendous accident, something, you know, you never wish on anyone. And to unfortunately be involved in that situation was awful. Obviously, Tommy paid the ultimate price with his life, and, you know, we lost such a sort of beautiful young soul, not only an amazing cricketer, but he was honestly the most amazing human being you're likely to meet. He was a good looking lad. Chicks loved him. He's a great cricketer. Just everything about him just screamed he was going to be something special. And unfortunately it wasn't to be, but it's just one of those things that now you kind of have to deal with and kind of move on, or the best you can. But you know, he's never far from our thoughts and from our minds. He had such a profound impact on everyone he met and was a part of. So, yeah.
Obviously, you've done some work now to try and sort of educate sportsmen in general as well about, like, you know, drug use and all those kind of things. But that night, you said, I've read that you were not aware at all that it was just another normal night with Tom. So how did you actually find out about his passing? Because obviously you were with him earlier on, but then I'm guessing you had to go off at some point.
Yeah, it was... His girl that he was seeing had come around to the house to sort of say that Tom hadn't turned up at her place. He was driving around to go and see her. And so we basically went to go and try and find him, essentially. So we got in the car to go and try and find him. And then as we were driving to try and find him, we got a call from our chief exec saying that Tommy had passed away. That was how we'd found out.
Fuck, it's fucking sad, isn't it? That's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awful. Well, yeah, Jade,
it is awful.
Luckily, we're going to lift the spirits to finish off the podcast because we're going to play a game of chat or no chat.
That's not really that appropriate, really, after a conversation like that.
No, it's not.
That's the nature of the podcast.
Not, that's the nature that's of the podcast, certainly.
Does he have chat?
Does he have
no chat? Does he have
chat? Does he have no chat?
Gonna ask those questions now. Does he have chat? Does he have
James Anderson? No chat.
Stuart Broad?
No chat.
Oli Pope?
No chat.
Kumar Sangakkara?
Chat.
Hashim Amla?
Chat.
Really? Well, okay. Ricky Ponting?
Chat.
Owen Morgan?
No chat.
Apparently he's moved to Clapham. I'm pretty sure I saw him on the Northgate Road the other day.
Yeah, so him, Josh Butler's moved in. I think they're all kind of Wandsworth area.
Yeah, no, because I signed off their forms.
Oh, right, okay. Shane Warne.
Chat.
KP.
He's actually got chat. I'm going to give it to him.
Okay, and then finishing off with the Curran brothers. Normally we do 10, but starting with Sam.
Sam, no chat.
And then Tom Curran.
Chat.
Well, Jay Durnberg, you've been absolutely incredible, mate. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
And hopefully we can see you down in Clapham in the very near future. Honestly, that was brilliant, mate. We really appreciate that.
Jade, see you soon, mate.
Anytime, lads. Take care.
Wow. What an absolute hero.
This podcast season is taking off.
How have you not met that guy before? You seem so aligned. Mate, rugby, cricket, love, Clapham,
Inverness. We are going to have one hell of a night. I can't bloody wait. Mate. What a boy.
Mate, he was absolutely incredible. Wonderful story. Seems. Are you going to go up and play
We're only 3 episodes into the new season and the banter has just been unreal. I can't decide who's my favourite guest, Savo, Francois or Pacho. If we don't win an award, it's an absolute shambles.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to put your money where your mouth is as we listen to Archie Curtis' tips of the week before taking him on Unsettle It. Download the app now.
Well, Archie, it's now time for another instalment of...
Don't have to tell me. What? Settle It section.
It is the Settle It section, Archie. You guessed it right. What a section.
They absolutely love... We have made some serious cash this season.
Well, you've done very well. You gave 50-1, 5 times more than any other market for Italy, and it came good.
Yeah. I knew they had no chance.
Yeah, you got some people coming through giving that bet. I mean, it was ridiculous. But this week, I know you've already whispered to me earlier in the week the odds you're going to give out, and they're just stupendous for one of the games. But before we get to that one, let's start on Friday, because Worcester Warriors are playing at home against Bristol Bears.
Look, just because I've become incredibly close to Francois and also Ollie Lawrence, this is my big tip this week. I'm offering 5-1 on Bristol Bears to beat Worcester Warriors. Because I think Worcester Warriors will actually beat Bristol Bears.
No, mate, please.
No. That's it. It's final.
Mate, don't do that.
I said every week, I know my ruggers.
Yeah, but mate, that's so stupid.
Honestly. It's done.
Fucking hell. Okay. And then... Once you've lost all your money on Saturday, we go to Bath versus Leicester.
Oh, this is a tough fixture because, you know, my heart says Bath. You know, I've got, you know, a history with them, with Benders. But then I've got a beautiful relationship with Freddie Burns, who was on fire on the weekend.
He was man of the match.
So, yeah, I'm going Leicester by 20 in that match.
Well, okay. And then another big one, the old traditional London rivalry between Harlequins and Wasps. Now Wasps obviously out on Coventry. But Quins, who are, you know, towards the top of the table against a resurgent Wasps.
It's an incredibly tough match to call, Clodis. But I'm going to say Wasps probably favourite after Barbary's comeback recently. He's looking a bloody good nick. Shame about his banter. but I'm going to give Quins 3-1 to win that.
Mate, Quins are at home.
Yeah, top of the league.
Mate,
I'm not going to say it again. No rugby.
So you've given Worcester 5-1 at home to Bristol, then Quins 3-1 at what?
Yeah. Mate, don't you worry.
Completely crazy. All right, and then on Saturday that day, we got London Irish versus Saris.
Yeah, I can't see anything but a Saris victory by 10.
And then Northampton Saints versus the Sharks.
Well, I'm going to have to go with Saints because over the weekend, Ludders and Rory Hutch were texting me saying, come to Infernos for 2 very good friends
were
of
they?
Mine. Yeah, very, very close friends of mine. Going to go Northampton by 10.
Okay, and then to round off the weekend on Sunday, we have a big fixture. We've got the Falcons against the Chiefs. Yeah. Newcastle versus Leicester.
I personally don't think many people are watching this match just because it's Newcastle, but I think they're going to be inspired by Mark Wilson's recent retirement. So I'm actually going to go with Newcastle by 5.
Wow, okay. Well, that's an incredible wrap-up of the weekend.
Oh, I love that section. That is just good, plain, ruggers chat.
Well, for the first time ever...
That is really the closest thing we get to the rugby pod, isn't it?
No, it really is. But you've given out 2 crazy odds there, 2 big games, Worcester Bears and obviously Quins versus Wasps. So if you guys want to make money, I mean, I'm sorry, mate. I have seen some method to your madness in the past, but not this week. Ladies and gentlemen, that brings to an end another episode of the Rigbiz Podcast.
That was phenomenal.
It was rather good, wasn't it?
That was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, well, yeah, mate, yeah. Jay Denver, really inspirational.
What a guy. Yeah. I can't wait to go out for the beers with him in Clapham. But yeah, one word to describe the pod. Phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, is that even a word?
Yeah, that's Italian for phenomenal.
All right, you're getting ready to try and play cricket with Jada.
Yeah.
Well, that was absolutely fantastic. And also, Archie, all our listeners always want to know, what is Archie Curzon up to a weekend when there's not much rugby on? Obviously, you're playing with the Falcons.
Playing rugby, but I won't be out drinking. You know, I'm in full training now for the Pano fight. I have to say, over half the tickets have now been sold. So if you want your ticket, I would strongly recommend to go to fixer.com, Warren Wandsworth. It is going to be a phenomenal night. We've got so many things coming out in the next couple of weeks of special guests, things going on. It's going to be a loose night. And just remember, that'll be the first time I'm going to be properly steamboating. So I'll be taking the 400 people watching it out for an epic night.
Well, talking about
talks of raffles about an after party.
Well, that is incredible. Yeah, we're talking about epic nights. You're not going to get better than the big showdown 2 for the Saracens game as well. So make sure you get involved in that. And also, if there are any guys with thinning lids, or even they've gone bald and they think there's no way back, Archie, what do they have to do?
Just go to the Sums website and type Rigbiz 40.
Well, Archie, it's been absolutely fantastic to see you, sir.
It's a beautiful day. Clapham's back on its way.
We're talking about that's another bit.
I love you too.
Yeah.
And also, I'm listening to a lot of Jagged Edge at the moment.
Who the hell are they?
They're bloody good band. Look them up. Yeah, they're bloody good for a night. If you're going on for a night out, listen to a bit of Jagged Edge. Seriously good chat.
Well, Archie, talking about being on your way, I've got to go and meet some friends this evening, so I'll see you
later. Where are you going?
I'm going to the Old Town Tavern, actually.
Okay, yeah. I'll come with you.
No, please don't.
Why not?
Because, like, they're mates who don't really know you. I think I'll be fine.
No, I'll be fine. I'm great with people I don't know. That's how I do business. Come on, let's go.
Okay.
Come on.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah? Okay, well, hurry up because I want to get a shower. I'll probably have the shower. Have you eaten because I've got some chicken at home? Right, I'll be out.
I'll see you outside. I'll see you out front.
Okay, I'm just going to do some press ups.
Yeah, I'll see you out front, mate. There you go, guys. Archie's on his way. Sadly, he's coming on board with me. But have a wonderful week and we'll see you all next Thursday.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.